is Halloween. Yay.
Did you have, like, an office Halloween party? Because that would... You should post pictures at level one. Like, that's your engagement challenge. It's like, you know, dress up, whatever. I don't... The only Halloween parties I really liked were the ones in college. Those were good. Otherwise, no.
Did that have anything to do with all the girls dressing yes. as sexy X?
Yes.
Whatever X could be anything?
Yeah. I mean, between all the girls at the party, you might have been able to get enough cloth for a handkerchief.
excuse you. I usually dressed up as a gypsy or a hippie.
No Lord of the Rings?
That works.
No, that required money, and I didn't have money in college. I had no money, so I had to use clothes that I already owned.
It really is amazing, though, because it's just a contest of who can be the sluttiest in college.
Yeah, I was kind of blown away when I went to my first Halloween party, because I was like, maybe I should be a cat. I could just wear leggings and a black t-shirt. And I was like, that's probably too, you know, form-fitting, so I didn't do it. Got to the party and everyone's wearing like lingerie. I was like, oh, I totally could have been a cat. I wouldn't have even like compared. It was so cold too. I was like, what, are you guys crazy?
You got what? You got to make sacrifices. You're going to be the sexiest cat, you know, the sexiest witch or whatever.
I don't know what started that trend for Halloween, but it's not a bad thing.
One girl did it and got insane amounts of attention. And then other girls were jealous of that attention.
Well, I was going to say, I think a lot of girls use it as sort of a pass. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, I can dress up whatever I want.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean,
right.
I think this is related to our first story in that the girl is Bloomberg.
Well,
she got lots of attention.
But I think another girl is Apple, and that girl's like Krista. That girl doesn't want attention. That yeah. girl wants to be left alone and not be maligned.
And Amazon has also come out and said that this whole Bloomberg Chinese spy chip story thing is BS. So that's Jassy. Chief Jassy, I don't know, what was his first name? Andy Jassy, CEO, has said that Bloomberg got their story wrong. We did a special on the spy chip. We did that on Sunday.
Special report.
Sunday of this week. So you should check that out and watch it because, this. I mean, it's theoretically possible, but mostly the Bloomberg story has to be BS for a number of reasons. The idea of that is plausible, but the specifics that the article talks about, no.
Well, last week we talked about that is the first time that Apple has ever called for a retraction in all of its years. I don't know about Amazon, but they certainly don't do it a lot because you don't want to get that idea that, you know, you're somebody who's whining about the media, right? But in this case, they're saying, no, this is so false, you must pull it. And not only that, but they're taking it further.
They've pulled their ads from Bloomberg over the China hack story. I mean, that's not insane. It's like, so Amazon has said, Bloomberg, you're not doing the retraction. You're not even issuing any comments from us to say, this is what this is. So because Bloomberg is just playing possum with Amazon, Amazon has pulled their ads. Apple has also barred Bloomberg from going to the iPad event. So there's new, you know, getting a new iPad Pro that's blah, blah, blah. Who cares? But Apple, yeah, Bloomberg, not happening.
And that probably hurts a little bit more, actually. I mean, it's not money, but everybody wants to go to the Apple event because that's guaranteed clicks.
I don't want to go to the Apple event.
The iPad event, well, I think that was in mid-October. So it's probably already passed by now, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, it happened after the
story. Yeah, still after the story broke.
So they were like, yeah, you're not... They talked about... one other company that they wouldn't let come for a long, maybe it was Gawker. I mean, it was like, they wouldn't let them come for years. And finally, they just let them back in. So who knows? Bloomberg might be out for the next couple of years.
Yeah. It's, you think Apple is bitter? Like, what do you call it when they remember everything?
Elephants.
They're an elephant.
No. I mean, it's like when it's like you remember every little mistake that somebody has made. You never forgive anybody for anything.
Being a jerk?
There's a word for that. I don't remember.
I don't know. You know, sometimes that's called for. Well, not to be left out in the fake news category is Intel.
There were several reports this week that said that Intel was abandoning their 10 nanometer, you know, process because they've had some fabrication problems that's allowed the competition to get a leg up on them. 7 nanometer chips are in mass production for mobile, at least. And so Intel has come out and said, no, we are not abandoning the 10 nanometer process. But I think from reading the stories and looking at everything online, I think both are true. I think that Intel is not really abandoning the 10 nanometer process, but it is shaking up things internally. And so, like, the group that's working on the 10-nanometer process, I think, is being broken into, like, three different groups. And so the 10-nanometer process, as they envisioned it, probably is dead. But somebody at Intel hopefully, surely knows what's going on, maybe, possibly. Or not, as the case may be, because the whole Spectre and Meltdown thing, well, we've got some news on that as well.
Last month was, or well, I guess it was this month, the big October update was real bad for Microsoft. It deleted some files, changed some settings, people weren't too happy about it, and maybe this one will get some goodwill back for them.
So Windows 10 is going to do away with the Spectre patch from Intel, and they're going to go with Google's patch. The return trampoline, the Retpoline patch for Windows 10. And so this actually is disturbing on a number of levels. So Google came out with something that helps mitigate Spectre V2. Google is not doing...
They don't really have a dog in that fight, do they?
They're not doing CPU engineering. You mean to tell me that Intel, with its... Intel, couldn't come up with something so clean and elegant? That's really horrifying about the nature of Meltdown and Spectre. Like, how does the company fail so spectacularly that Google's solution is cleaner and better than Intel's own solution? Because Intel knows what's going on in the black box of the microcode and everything else. Their engineers should be in a better position to solve that problem. How did Google do a better job? This probably, patch. Huh?
They probably spied. You know, they used their data collection.
The AI. It's like the super intelligence that's running Google is like, is it not obvious to you humans?
It's sort of like one line of code.
Yeah. But it inserted its own flaw to be exploited later.
It was like two lines of code.
During the AI war. Yeah. Well, we talked in our last episode, which if you haven't seen, you should go and watch. You know, it's important that you see those stories about the right to repair and a rare win for the consumer in terms of right to repair. And now Motorola delivers another win.
This is amazing. So Motorola becomes the first smartphone company to sell DIY repair kits to its customers. So
look at
there
it.
You go. You get a little guitar pick, a little suction cup.
You can take it apart and fix it.
This is $80.
It looks like you could put one of these kits together with just like stuff in your garage.
Yeah, is this, how much are they charging for this? I missed it.
I don't know. I think it's different per phone.
They're working directly with iFixit, too, to sell the kits.
It's going to be the Moto XZ, G4, G5, and Droid Turbo 2 you're going to be able to get.
Comes with tools and genuine Motorola replacement parts. This is how it's done. I'm sure it's overpriced. I'm sure it's a terrible deal. But
well, you also get videos.
Yeah.
That, of course, you get those on YouTube, probably. But, hey, it's definitely a step up from Apple, who seizes stuff at the border and sues you. So,
and they probably won't ask you to like, favorite, and subscribe. They'll just be like, this is just a short video to tell you how to use this repair kit.
I would love to see Motorola, like the LG G5 with the modular battery and the modular system. I would love to see Motorola, you know, close the loop here and make a phone that has as modular of a design as the G5, plus the replacement parts and the replacement kits. We might finally see the era of miniaturized but standardized electronics.
And we might also see Motorola go out of business because they're not getting those planned obsolescence dollars that all the other companies are. But if people adopt it in a big way, then maybe that could offset that.
How cool would it be, though? It's like I'm running this, you know, ancient, like the shittiest phone panel imaginable, but I've just swapped in the new 7-nanometer CPU because that's all I really needed.
Except the normies are never going to do it. They're going to buy iPhones because that's what they think is cool. And well, you know what else the normies seem to be getting into all of a sudden, shocking a lot of people, are those electric cars.
Now I want all the upvotes for this because Tesla shares have soared on a surprise third quarter profit that beats Wall Street expectations. But if you look at the graph, it actually makes perfect sense. I mean, Elon Musk said that we're going to turn a profit just as soon as the Model 3 enters, like the production ramps up. And all of the costs and expenses and negative cash flow in Tesla are from ramping up manufacturing. But once you've got the manufacturing lines going, then you start collecting money, the actual money from all the stuff that you're making. And so once you've made 10 or 15,000 cars and you're producing another 5,000, whatever, you can start to make money really, really super quickly. And that's what happened here.
Yeah, he did say there were a lot of people who thought that he was going to have to borrow more money because of the cash burn. But he said no. that's the last time we have to do that because we're going to make money. Everybody's like, hey, you're not going to make money. Well, they made a little bit of money.
If you look at the graph, it looks like it was exactly like what he said, where it's like we did the first model and they made a tiny little bit of money on the first model, but he took all the profits and reinvested it into the next model, and then took all those profits and reinvested it into the next model. And the amount of spend and the amount of profit, you know, increased at each step of the way. So, cool.
Good for him, I guess.
Yay. I wonder if the people that shorted the stock are going to go insane, because it actually really is legit nearing like $420 a share.
Well, if they're smart, they got out when they got those huge gains. But one thing, so there, what the call was, this was the conference call, you know, that revealed all this. It did not go without some drama. He was asked who is going to replace him, because this is his last conference call. He's not going to be the chairman anymore.
Oh, right.
Well, so he declined to answer that question. In fact, ignored it. So, not a subject he likes to talk about. Well, in the last episode, we talked about, you know, should Twitter ban certain accounts, right? If people are saying things that Twitter doesn't agree with, is it okay for them to ban people? Well, turns out there's a Twitter that doesn't ban anybody. And, yeah.
PayPal has banned Gab following Pittsburgh shooting. So Gab is a social network like Twitter, but you can just post anything. And actually, they had a lot of really terrible things that they had posted themselves, but then I went back looking for that and they had deleted a bunch of stuff. So this is just a terrible mess. I don't think Gab's hands are clean here, but PayPal is like, oh no, we're not gonna let them be a customer of ours.
Well, but this goes back to the whole thing where it's like, can you hold the forum responsible for the individual?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is the, so if you're not familiar, there was a guy who shot up a synagogue, and he was apparently very anti-Semitic in his gabs. So that's why he did it. It was a hate crime, it seems like. And
he was banned from Twitter. He went to Gab.
Right. So, but I always ask the question, do you think it would have, I mean, shouldn't we know about these guys? Actually, I think some lawmaker had reported this guy and his tweets. I was like, oh my God, somebody needs to do something about this guy.
Somebody's got to keep an eye on him.
Yeah. So if you take that away and these people don't have a forum, then does that make them any less crazy?
The answer is no.
Yeah, but they just don't have a place to spout it anymore.
And there's also such a double standard, because when you talk about, like, you know, the mass shootings, especially the school shootings, it's almost always people who want attention. Like, that's maybe the most dangerous individual is the person who's desperate for attention. And even if you got to go to jail for the rest of your life, hey, everybody knows your name, right? So is it okay that all the major news stations are digging up this guy's past and broadcasting every detail of his life and putting his face on the screen for 20 hours a day, but you're not allowed to read his tweets?
Yeah. Huh? What was that?
The cookies made a noise. We have lemon cookies back here.
The lemon cookies want to make their...
The lemon cookies have strong feelings about Gab.
They do. Maybe yeah. They tweet on Gab. They gab on Gab, if you will.
Well, speaking of, you know, Tesla, they talked about they don't need more money, right? And everybody was shocked. Hey, maybe they're going to get through the year without having to raise capital. But you know who's not going to do that?
Maybe Tesla can give Netflix a loan, because Netflix has got to raise $2 billion in debt to fund more original content. Is this the article that has the little graph of how much money Netflix has spent over the last several years? Because it's insane.
There's a lot of original series. Like, they have some that really take off, like House of Cards or The Crown. But they have some that it's like they're just garbage. I feel like they need to, like, focus more on getting quality shows instead of just throwing money.
Well, that's true of
everywhere.
Television network. Like, they don't know what people are going to pick up on.
Yeah.
They're doing it algorithmically, and the algorithm is going to tell them that the most vapid, lowest common denominator content is the most profitable, and so that's what we're going to get more of.
I don't know, though.
We just covered in the recent weeks, because Netflix did their earnings recently as well, and they had a surprising number of new subscribers. What was it, like 700 or 7 million new subscribers or something like that?
Yeah.
But they spent, I think, $7 billion to get 7 million subscribers. And that math doesn't work out at all. But they claim that's the only way they're going to stay competitive and there's no need to worry about the cash burn.
Neat.
So at least what they mean is there's no need to worry about it right now. That's future Netflix's problem, yeah. Not current Netflix's problem.
For now, the stock price is good. Our options are still okay. Everything's going into Christmas. Everybody's happy.
Wow.
Well, we've talked about Google, and we've talked about a lot of gender conflict in the Silicon Valley world.
We had the Google Plus story where Google might not have acted in a way that would be with the highest ethical standards.
Well, they talked about the Google Plus team like being very dysfunctional internally.
Yeah.
And how that led to it. We also had the James Damore guy who said that there was a lot of, you know, like gender conflict within Google. Well, this is just another log on the fire.
The New York Times has this really interesting article about Andy Rubin, who's, you know, sort of thought of as the father of Android, one of the original developers, I guess, for Android. Google paid him $90 million and praised him while keeping silent a claim about sexual misconduct.
This was, it was hard to understand exactly, but it seemed like he was having some kind of relationship with a woman at Google, another employee, who he was clearly superior to in rank. And they ended up in a hotel room, and he coerced her into a sexual act. But then you think, well, maybe she's just, you know, accusing him of something. But then it says Google did an investigation, and they felt like it had happened. So maybe he admitted to it or whatever. And so what was presented as him moving on to the next thing, you know, we wish him the best, was actually them telling him, you're out, but don't make a scene, and we're going to give you $90 million.
Huh.
Good to know that sexual assault pays off.
I don't know if it was assault per se. Maybe coercion. I don't know. I guess people draw the line in different places there. But certainly not something this young lady was happy about after the fact.
It will be magical, I promise. No.
Well, or I'll give you a raise.
It wasn't the kind of act where she would experience any magic.
If he was a superior to her, it may have been like, you know, or I'll write you up or whatever.
So, yeah. They also, the New York Times article goes into this long history of trysts and relationships among the Google people, you know.
Well, so if you're not going anywhere all day, I mean.
Yeah, they're just there on the campus. And they got, you know, I mean, they built their own little world. Of course, they're going to intermingle within that world.
It's like Hollywood.
Let's hope not. All the terrible things that happened there.
Well, if you go, you know, every once in a while we'll get CoinDesk and some of those other sites will be on the news, right? And if you look at the ads, there are some suspicious ads on those sites. Very suspicious. Some of them are even going to tell you, it's like, you'll make millions with this ICO. Well, turns out that if you're suspicious of those, you might be very, very right.
So this article is about how these guys asked different places that report on cryptocurrency if they could run an article without disclosing that it's advertisement, and more than half said yes.
Krista, how do you like this design?
I don't like it at this screen size. I don't like black text on red either.
Well, look over here.
It's low contrast.
They don't even have, like, you can't even see this part at this. They need some breakpoints.
What's it look like in desktop?
We're not interested in anybody that has less than 1080p resolution reading our stuff.
Yeah.
This is a really bizarre design.
It's not great. But the idea here is this guy had worked on some crypto sites, and he would constantly get emails, and they were like, hey, this is kind of an ad, but we'd like you to treat it as if it weren't. And here's some money. And he would always turn them down, but he was like, I wonder how many take it. So they did a little sting investigation. The answer was half.
Neat. So it's like tech YouTubers then.
We would never take money from sponsors. Where's all of our
We don't even do pre-rolls, although we might start doing pre-rolls just for funsies.
Just for funsies. Also money.
For munsies?
Yeah.
Munsies.
Munsies, like tendies, mundies.
Oh, I have made another catastrophic failure in the order alignment. This clearly should have gone right after.
I thought we moved this one. Did we not?
I don't know. I thought I did. But anyway, I couldn't have just one good Tesla story, right?
It's unacceptable for Ryan.
The guys that upvoted the Tesla stuff, they've already stopped watching. It's fine.
They're just...
They've already retweeted this episode of the news.
They're running nude through the yard in elation.
they're outside hugging their Tesla. Just, also nude.
Well, it turns out the Department of Justice is looking into... So we had the 420 tweet, right?
Yeah. Yep.
The funding secured. Well, that's settled, right? But they're now saying... When he was talking about the numbers of Model 3s that were coming off the line, he might have been lying about that, too.
So the FBI is investigating.
Also, something you're not allowed to lie about on Twitter.
As it turns out.
But you got to think.
What will they take away from him this time?
Well, that's a good question. And also, the funding secured thing seems like, in my mind at least, far more serious.
Yeah.
So could this punishment, I mean, if it's going to be less... Then it's like, okay, it's going to be $10 million this time?
I'm pretty sure that the White House press secretary has tweeted worse lies.
Well, every politician has tweeted worse lies. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to hurt some short sellers. It's another thing to start a war. But at the same time, you know, there's rules, and he should have to follow the rules. But I'd be surprised if that ends up being anything too serious.
On this week's episode of How Bad Is Bing Really?
Well, we've moved into security.
It's pretty bad, as it turns out.
And it's sad. It's
surprisingly bad.
Yeah, it's sad that this, like, usually security is something that happens by mistake or maliciousness. This seems like it's just
apathy. Just
stupidity. Or, yeah, maybe they don't care. Maybe they saw it and they were like, ah, that's kind of funny.
Surely this is fixed by the time you're watching this. But it was not fixed when we were recording this, which was days after this article was written.
No, I think actually they have fixed it. Already.
Bing is publishing. Bing is pushing malware when you search for Chrome. So it turns out you can buy an ad for Google.com and you don't actually have to direct traffic to Google.com. So if somebody searches for Google Chrome, one of the advertisers is advertising malicious links so that it's like, oh yeah, I can download Chrome and it will go to this Google whatever.
It was Google Online 2018.com.
Which is going to infect the crap out of your machine.
Right. What a ridiculous... Like URL. It's like the only one that Google probably didn't already own.
Now, Firefox and Chrome both were like, hey, this site's not legit. But Edge.
But they also didn't serve the ad. So only Bing's ad platform lets you spoof the URL.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Got to diversify. That's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah, so if you go and you have a new computer and you're like, oh, I need to download Firefox or Chrome.
Which is the only thing that you're going to use it for, right? That's the only time that you're going to launch a browser that launches Bing.
I mean, that actually, Google used to not verify the URL or whatever because it was a big deal because if you had brand X and you owned brand Y, you could advertise for brand X and send the traffic to brand Y. That was actually handy.
Well,
handy.
That's an
also kind of unethical, but
that's an interesting lead-in because let's say that you were going to post some nude photos of your wife.
As one does.
You might not want to put your real email address on that account, right? But you might need to password recover. So you might set up a real email address on the back end for your account, but use your throwaway email for people who want to ask for more nudes of your wife. But then a problem occurs.
A hack on 8 adult website exposes oodles of intimate user data.
I'll say, make sure you read that whole thing. Oodles. That's a technical term.
And if you're wondering how much is an oodle, well, it's less than 98 megabytes. It has to be actually divisible. Like 98 megabyte has to be divisible by an oodle because there's more than one, right?
Anything more than that is called a kitten caboodle of intimate user data.
Well, Angel's Wife Lovers was a site that this happened to. And sure enough, all those real email addresses got out there, which means that those nude wives could now be tied to Facebook accounts and Twitter accounts and LinkedIn accounts. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, the Bitcoin emails have just gotten a lot, like the Bitcoin ransom emails where it's like, I got a video of you doing terrible things. Send me Bitcoin. This is going to be great because they're going to really have stuff now.
Now, that's not the only site. I'm just going to run through these. Goodbye to our monetization if you're playing the drinking game. How about Asian Sex for You? That's the number 4 and the letter U.
You should switch to the, so that when the reviewer is reviewing this, it's like, we are quoting Ars Technica.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Ars Technica.
Asian Sex for You, Blow, BBW Sex for You, Indian Sex for You, Nude Africa. Why not for you? Why does that one just nude Africa?
Well, it's for everybody.
Nude Latins, nude men, and wife poster.
So if you had an account on one of those sites, I've got some bad news for you.
I would hope no one in our audience does, but you never know.
Somebody just hit pause. It's freaking out.
It's like, oh, no.
It's like, what do I do next?
They pointed out the, you know, this was not dissimilar to the Ashley Madison hack. Although 98 megs, this is just text information, so that's a lot.
You
but
mean noodle, right?
That's pretty small in terms of leaks.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a lot of people, though. Because, I mean, the collected works of Shakespeare is only like a megabyte, not even.
And that doesn't even have any nudes in it. Well, here's some good news if you're an iPhone user, but bad news if you're a state or local municipality who's just spent hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Apple just killed the Gray Key iPhone passcode hack. Now, we've covered the Gray Key a bunch on this show. It's the thing that, you know, law enforcement uses to break into an iPhone. Well, Apple figured out what they were doing and has closed that loophole, or so they tell us.
It used some kind of loophole that let it try the numeric password as many times as it wanted. And not time out. And it seems like that would probably be pretty easy to fix.
It was kind of a long time for them to figure that out, though.
Yeah, well, got to wonder how hard they were working on that. Well, if you watch the Level 1 news, you probably find yourself in horror uninstalling apps every week, whether they're, you know, malware or spying on you or whatever.
Or our forum.
But here's some bad news.
Apps can now track you even after you uninstall them. New trackers make it easy for developers with fed up users to track fed up users and give them ads to reinstall stuff to be like, hey, we're much better now.
We're totally not using you.
So if you uninstall that app and then all of a sudden you get an ad, it's like, oh, you should install this app you just uninstalled. Well, you're not crazy. Because it turns out push notifications, when they are used, can actually return uninstalled. So all they have to do is hit you with a push notification, and they can tell whether you've ever had that app or not. And that's against the terms of service, but guess what? Everybody does it.
Google, save us. Save us, Google, save us.
They won't.
Apple can do it too.
Of course.
Well, now here's an interesting question. Of the three of us, who do you think uses the most mobile data per calendar month?
I got in trouble last month.
And so we thought maybe this was the reason, but it turns out no.
No, I'm just garbage and forget to turn my Wi-Fi on.
Google News, the Google News app has a bug where it's using up gigabytes of background data without users' knowledge. Now, this is impressive because if Google News is doing the stuff right, it should only be bringing text in. And bringing in gigabytes of news text, that is impressive.
Well, even if it brought in the thumbnails.
How does that bug even happen?
Because
that bug only happens in the ivory tower of Google where they have multi-gigabit connections to their phones.
You've only got, like 75 for 50 items on the front page of Google News?
Yeah.
Because you get like 5 in every category.
So it's just downloading it continuously?
I guess. I mean, it updates a lot, but
I think somebody needs to make a room at Google that's like the wireless data service that everybody else in the world experiences. And it's like, enjoy, you're barely faster than
3G. Well, no, it should be the lowest possible one you could get like out in the hills of North Dakota or something. You know? So you have to build a service that is at least usable on that.
Is that worse or better than the hills of Eastern Kentucky?
By order of the Google's information czar, your mobile phones will not be any faster than the fastest connection you can get from Archer Park in West Virginia.
Camden Park. Archer Park's in Prestonsburg.
Oh, that's right. I don't even know where my parks are anymore.
Camden Park. What a sad, distressing place to be.
That's going to be in Fallout. I was watching some people play like the beta on Twitch to see if it was any good. And there was, it's like, oh, look.
How bad was the stereotyping?
It was bad.
Well, every week, or almost every week, we get the old Amazon unsecured bucket. You put something online, you don't set a password, and it's embarrassing. It affects a lot of different kinds of businesses. Usually they're places that you've never heard of, but they might be subcontractors. But in this case,
adult website.
Yeah, something like that. But some businesses It's just completely unacceptable. And this is such a case.
An ISP left corporate passwords, keys, and all its data exposed on the internet. The ISP called Pocket iNet left 73 gigabytes of customer information and all sorts of craziness just on the internet for anybody to see. So if you were a customer of this ISP, you might want to switch ISPs.
Where is this place? Where is that ISP located?
Let's find out.
I don't recall.
It is
Washington.
I suppose that's the state.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they had not only all of the keys and the passwords, but the physical layout of the equipment. So everything that you could ever want in order to take these people down was right there for everybody to see. And they didn't deny it. They were like, thanks for showing us this. We're going to try to work harder.
Security. We're going to do more than the bare minimum.
And not to be outdone, Germany has their own version.
There's a company in Germany that makes spyware for the government, and they left their customer and victim data online for everybody. So the government's like, hey, spy on these people. I was like, okay, here you go.
That's a lose-lose situation for everybody involved.
Let's upload that to Amazon, because why not?
Well, it's legal, which seems wrong, but it is legal for these kinds of companies to hack once they get that government contract. So this is, it's not white hat. What would you call that when it's an evil government who's making it legal for you to do that?
I was going to say red hat, but it's not red hat.
Blood, red for blood?
No, red is in like communist or, you know.
Well, you know, Germany's not communist.
State hacks you, I don't know.
But yeah.
State hacks for you.
They just left it all online. So all the sensitive information, and that's useless now to the government, right? I mean, because it's been exposed, so.
Speaking of Red Hat, IBM bought them, but we're going to cover that next week.
And
as more details emerge.
Yeah.
Speaking of reasons that you might go to Red Hat.
New Windows Zero Day bug helps delete any file and an exploit's available. So yeah, this was in one of the more obscure Windows services, but you can overwrite files, which, like, if you overwrite the correct DLL, Windows might look for that DLL in a user-controlled folder, and then all of a sudden you've taken over the machine. So this is actually a really dangerous vulnerability.
So the problem is it overwrites a log file. You're able to set where to write the log file, and you can choose any file on the system. There's no permission.
Oops.
That's a problem.
A little bit.
They did talk about how it would be very difficult to use this maliciously. It would be a lot of work, but for some people, that's just a challenge.
TechSpot's got a great article on... so they did a lot of research on apps. I mean, it's like, hey, you know... It seems like a lot of apps are harvesting data. Just how bad is this?
The quotation here is out of control.
I don't think that's accurate.
Google and Facebook are the biggest beneficiaries is the subtitle.
Yeah, so it's funny because it's like, well, they're harvesting this data, but how are they monetizing it? What are they doing with it? Well, it turns out Google and data are happy to buy it. More than happy. And because almost all apps these days are free, that's how they're monetizing them. So you get those free apps. That's the price you're paying. They are tracking everything they possibly can.
No segue.
I thought maybe you guys would have something to add.
I had nothing else. I was like looking at the next article.
Well,
one with a tiny title, so I was having to squint.
Have you guys heard of Cathay Pacific?
That is an airline.
I've never heard of them before, but bad news. They've also been hacked.
Oh, 9.4 million people.
If you fly in the Pacific region, got some bad news. All your passport number, your date of birth, nationality, name, everything somebody needs to steal your identity, it's gone.
Gone forever. Government ID, which I guess is like their social security number.
Yeah, or whatever for the particular government.
And I think some credit cards were in there too. Not everybody, not all 9.4 million had credit cards, but some of them did. And this is another situation where they're like, yep, sorry, our bad. We'll try to help you. We'll try to help you fix it.
Oh, just in case you Linux users were super smug about Windows 10 overwriting files and logs and stuff, we got some bad news for you, too.
Bad week.
X.org has basically exactly the same bug. If you start X.org and you tell it that you want to create a log file anywhere, it's like, okay, sounds good. And it totally will. So you can overwrite the password file and then log in as root.
I might have confused the two.
Good job.
The other one might not have been the log file. But it was very similar. It was overwriting files arbitrarily.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they just, again, all you have to do is run a command that writes a log file.
Oops.
And you can write wherever you want. And they actually were able to, like, one guy was like, hey, pretty sure I could use this exploit with like two lines of code to do this other one. And the next reply was like, I can do it in one.
To one up each other.
As one does with
yeah.
Linux.
Yeah.
The really, really just amazing thing about this is that it's been there for forever and nobody's caught it. One. But two, you junior admins that install the GUI on your servers, this is why you don't do that.
Ooh.
Sick. Just calling people out.
And on that same server, you might have some Python libraries installed. Bad news.
Yeah, don't mistype Django. Well, they fixed it, but 12 malicious Python libraries have been found and removed from the Python package repository. Most of them were squatters on misspellings of Django.
They had, here we go. Django, Django, Dajngo, and Django.
So if you accidentally installed one of those, bad news. You're probably mining cryptocurrency, or you may have some malware that's...
Well, no, it was one of those... it was a clipboard attack.
There were several.
Yeah, it detected your key and then swapped it out for their key.
Yeah, so... and there was also one variant of that installed a backdoor, so that's bad.
Well, we are able to predict a lot of the times which stories are going to generate...
downvotes?
Well, engagement. Any kind of engagement. And
also true, though.
This one is definitely going to be one of those.
Systemd. The D in systemd stands for damn it. I would agree with that. A nasty DHCP v6 packet can own a vulnerable Linux box. Okay, so...
That's kind of a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah. What happened is if you have a computer on a network segment and you send it a DHCP v6 router advertisement, it will try to get a DHCP v6 IP address from the router. But if it's malformed, you can cause systemd to crash or, in a worst case scenario, execute arbitrary remote code. Thanks, systemd.
If you don't have IPv6 turned on, you're all right. Otherwise, enjoy those crashes and or memory executions.
Get those patches now. Get them while they're good.
Get them while they're hot. No one likes a lukewarm.
And that's the end of security, which breaks Krista's heart. It's her favorite segment.
My favorite segment every week.
So tomorrow we'll talk about a little bit of robots, just a tiny bit of science and space, and of course everybody's favorite nonsense. Not tomorrow. It won't be tomorrow.
It will be Friday.
It'll officially be November. Yeah. When we do the next episode of the news, it'll be turkey time.
New CPUs, new Threadripper per CPUs launch. We've got coverage of that. Check out our Bloomberg article because we did like a little mini segment on Bloomberg because that's just how we roll. Join our Patreon because that's what we do mostly. So, I don't know.
We haven't done a podcast this month.
We've got to do a podcast.
That's right.
That comes out soon. So maybe we can have a record-setting month next month to get the bonus podcast. Ooh.
We certainly don't have time for a bonus podcast this month. It's a good thing they didn't give us extra money.
Yeah. We have to do just the 19 map. Right. Happy Halloween. Bye.
You're too old for it.